more.
Glorious day, fellow traveler. Welcome to Science and God with Dr. G. That's me, Dr. Michael Gillen, physicist, astronomer, mathematician, and Christian. That's right, living, breathing evidence that science and Christianity are not mortal enemies, but good friends. Actually, an awesome power couple.
What mass extinctions teach us about climate change? You know, in my 40 award-winning years of covering the environment, I've reported directly from the North Pole, the South Pole, Greenland, Atlantic Ocean, Pacific Ocean, rainforests, dry forests, cloud forests, glaciers, volcanoes, hurricanes, tornadoes, you name it. And during those 40 years, my friend, I've seen up close and personal the utter devastation we're wreaking on God's magnificent creation. Honestly, it makes me sick. But when it comes to the Earth's climate, there's a lot of hysteria and misinformation out there, mainly because the subject has become hopelessly corrupted by politics. On this journey, therefore, I'd like to offer you some much-needed perspective, a drop of sanity, if you will, in an ocean of insanity. My hope is that it'll help you figure things out for yourself. Now, just one note. Please don't get hung up on the scientific timescale I'm going to be using. It's called the geologic timescale, or GTS for short. As I explained back in journey number 13, there are many ways to measure time because time is not an absolute truth. It's a relative truth. So even though different timescales appear to violently disagree, it's possible they are all correct. Okay, so let's get started. According to our best scientific evidence, sudden changes in climate of one kind or another have triggered mass extinctions on Earth five different times. How do we know this? Well, when we dig down into the Earth, it's like going back in time. The deeper we dig, the further back in time we go. It's like a time machine. Now, as we dig down, we count the number of fossils embedded in each layer of rock. So, we end up with a census of how many plants and animals existed over time. And guess what? There were five times in history when the number of fossils suddenly dropped by huge amounts. It's as if something or someone swooped in and wiped the slate nearly clean. Here's what I mean. Extinction number one is called the Ordovician mass extinction. Now, according to the geologic timescale, or GTS, it happened about 440 million years ago and killed 60 to 70% of all living things on Earth, including up to 85% of all aquatic life. We don't know what did this, but here are some guesses. One, maybe the mass extinction was triggered by the continents moving around, you know, shifting their positions around, which triggered a major change in climate. Two, maybe it was triggered by a sudden drop in the level of oxygen in the oceans. You know, most creatures back then lived in the water. Three, maybe it was triggered by a period of sudden global cooling, followed by a sudden period of global warming. In that case, most plants and animals weren't able to survive the brutal whiplash. Extinction number two is called the Devonian mass extinction. Now, according to the GTS, it happened about 375 million years ago and killed 70 to 80% of all life on Earth. Imagine that. Here again, scientists don't know the cause. But in addition to the ideas offered for the previous extinction, here are three more possibilities. One, Maybe the Devonian extinction was triggered by widespread volcanic eruptions. You know, the dust, toxic gases, and smoke might have A, blocked out the sun, causing Earth's temperature to drop like a rock, and B, outright suffocated plants and animals to death. Two, maybe the Devonian extinction was triggered by a sudden greening of the Earth's landmasses, causing a sudden drop in carbon dioxide. Remember, plants consume carbon dioxide and produce oxygen. Three, maybe the Devonian extinction was triggered by the impact of a large asteroid. The dust kicked up by the collision might have clouded the air and blocked out the sun. Extinction number three is called the Permian mass extinction. Now, according to the GTS, it happened about 250 million years ago and killed, get this, a whopping 95% of all life on Earth. In addition to the possible causes I've already mentioned, here's another one. Maybe this mass extinction was triggered by a combination of volcanic eruptions and killer bacteria called extremophiles. Now, these are microbes that thrive in extremely deadly environments. Maybe extremophiles thrived in the pollution caused by the volcanoes and eventually killed nearly all life on Earth. That's a possibility, theoretically speaking. All right. Extinction number four is called the Triassic-Jurassic mass extinction. According to the GTS, it happened about 200 million years ago and killed more than 70% of all life on Earth. Scientists think it might have happened this way, all right? Maybe massive volcanic eruptions blanketed large parts of the land and seafloor with a thick layer of lava, smothering everything in its path. And maybe the volcanic gases choked out even more life and changed the climate radically. And maybe the gases acidified the waters of the Earth, making them deadly to aquatic life. Whatever it was, whatever the cause was, scientists call the Triassic-Jurassic extinction the Great Dying, because it's by far the biggest and most mysterious of the five mass extinctions. Extinction number five is called the Cretaceous-Paleogene mass extinction. According to the GTS, it happened about 66 million years ago and killed nearly 75% of all life on Earth. This, without doubt, my friend, is the most famous of the mass extinctions. Why? Because it killed off the mighty dinosaurs. What was the culprit? Well, scientists have lots of guesses, but the most popular one is that the Earth was hit by a giant comet or asteroid, or by a series of comets or asteroids. The impact raised so much dust, it blocked out the sun for a very long time, creating what scientists call a nuclear winter. It's where the temperatures plummet, right? It's kind of catastrophic global cooling. Plants died off first because they need sunlight to grow. That in turn led to a total collapse of the entire food chain and a mass extinction. The best evidence we have for this scenario is a gigantic impact crater we discovered beneath the Mexican town of Chicxulub. It's more than 90 miles across and 12 miles deep. It's a huge crater. We also discovered a thin layer of ash all over the planet, presumably left behind by the global catastrophe. So then, my friend, what do these five mass extinctions teach us? Plenty. Number one, they teach us that, amazing and scary as it sounds, sudden changes in climate and mass extinctions are a normal fact of life on planet Earth. What's more, we don't know why this is. We don't. It's a deep mystery. In other words, despite all our scientific bluster and bravado, we have no clear-cut understanding of what makes the Earth and its climate tick. I mean, that's the brutal truth. Which means, despite what you hear from the so-called scientific consensus, despite the predictions of our most sophisticated global climate computer models, we have no clear-cut understanding of what's happening right now with the Earth's climate and geology. Nor do we have a clear-cut understanding of what to expect in the years to come. What we do know is this. The Earth and its climate can change on a dime, radically change, without any help from us. As we've just seen, it's happened at least 5 times already. Number 2, these mass extinctions teach us that life on Earth doesn't disappear like that overnight. For example, it took 18 million years for the Triassic-Jurassic mass extinction to play out. That's right, 18 million years. It doesn't happen overnight. So please, my friend, keep that in mind when you hear, Hollywood actors or politicians or, sad to say, even my fellow scientists screaming hysterically that we have just a few years left to live. Number 3, these mass extinctions teach us that Earth is a dynamic place. It's not static. It's a dynamic place where everything, including its climate and geology, are always changing in big and sudden ways. The Earth we live on today is way different than the Earths of the past. Dramatically different. For example, there were times when massive rivers flowed through the Sahara Desert. Yes. The Antarctic was covered with a lush rainforest. Imagine that. And the northern United States was blanketed by thick, giant glaciers. Number 4. These mass extinctions teach us that God's creation is incredibly resilient. Plants and animals come and go, but the Earth itself always survives and ultimately flourishes. Let that sink in for a moment, my friend. Let that sink in. The Earth we cherish today is the spectacular outcome of at least 5 massive extinctions. So then, are we humans helping to trigger a 6th mass extinction? A much easier question to answer is this. Are you doing everything you can to take care of God's creation? The Bible explains that God put us humans in charge of the plants, the animals, the land, the air, the water, the whole enchilada. So taking the environment seriously, doing everything you can to treat it with respect, is not some urgent, hysterical, scientific, or political talking point. It's a timeless, sacred duty. The Bible also explains this. One day, my friend, the world as we know it will end. But nobody, no scientist, no supercomputer or global climate model can predict when it'll happen. Only God knows the date and time. What's more, the end of the world won't be triggered by too much or too little carbon dioxide. Instead, it'll be triggered by the very same human behavior that ruined the Garden of Eden. By our disrespect for one another, for God's creation, and for God Himself. According to the Bible, it'll be the mother of all mass extinctions. But this time, the Earth will bounce back permanently, and in the most unusual way. Listen to how John in the book of Revelation describes it. Quote, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away.'" End quote.
Okay, that's it for now. Remember, this podcast is not a lecture series. It's a conversation. So now it's your turn. Comments? Questions? I'm eager to hear from you. There's all kinds of ways you can connect up with me via my social media links in the show notes below. Till next time, I'm still Dr. G saying, I love science. I love God. I also love you, my fellow traveler. Thanks for listening.